We would like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. Parents, today, Sunday, March 24th, from 4 to 6 p.m., we will be teaching the kids what Jesus went through on His way to die on the cross for us. Please bring the kiddos and enjoy watching them learn here at 333 South Chestnut Street, Seymour. Please join us at Trinity United Methodist Church for our Maundy Thursday healing service on March 28th at 7 p.m. Featuring the powerfully anointed Jairus Sue Shelton singing a drama based on Campus Crusade's movie and Bible study of Mary Magdalene, Released from Shame, the Healing Hearts of Seven Biblical Women as Seen Through the Eyes of Mary Magdalene. We will offer the Lord's Supper, as one might expect, on Maundy Thursday. Once again, we are at 333 South Chestnut Street, Seymour. Easter Sunday is a busy Sunday with sunrise service starting at 7:30 a.m. and Easter breakfast celebration at 8:30 a.m. and our beautiful resurrection service at 10 a.m. Please join us at 333 South Chestnut Street here in Seymour. Now we have a special treat. We have special music by Proof.
Oh, thank you for that wonderful introduction, Jack.
Oh, and by the way, I played a donkey at VBS, so I know.
There's a joke there.
Well, there's a joke there. I get used to doing that naturally. Mark, we've learned a lot today about Palm Sunday, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
We've had this beautiful orchestration with the kids coming in with palm branches.
Beautiful, beautiful.
And we've had a wonderful children's sermon by Missy Lake that talked about the sound of a donkey. That would be too majestic going into Jerusalem, City of Peace. But and that was, in my book, that would be considered a really great reenactment of the scene in Jerusalem on the way to Jerusalem. In fact, like the day before, I think, Jesus had just raised Lazarus from the dead. Mm-hmm. And so there was this huge, huge turnout for that. But did you know, too, that this was also, what we're going to sing today would be called a pre-enactment.
Okay. Interesting.
Yes. Palm Sunday was a pre-enactment. Because He's going to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus
is going
to come back right again. Amen? And it's just not going to be the people in Jerusalem. It's going to be everybody who's going to have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Your mom and dad, my mom, Lori's mom.
Everyone.
Grandma's, grandpa's, sons and daughters who aren't here right now. They're going to rise up. And it's going to be a great big return. And that's why we're going to sing this song today. It's called The King Is Coming by the Gaither Family.
And it's also, the music is a karaoke version.
Yeah.
So if you don't mind singing along.
You can jump in anytime.
Jimmy's voice is absolutely beautiful. Sing to cover mine up.
I did wear my boots. And we'd like to thank Uncle Troy for orchestrating this.
I just heard a trumpet sounding.
Today's scripture comes from Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 11, followed by our sermon, Today's Faith, by Pastor Angel Armstrong. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God's word to God's people.
Thanks be to God. This passage encourages us as Christians to follow Christ Jesus' example, to put humility, selflessness, and obedience first. And trust me, when we do that, God does indeed bless us. It highlights the importance of putting others' interest above our own. Not that our interests aren't important, but when we put the interest of others above ours in our mind, it brings us into a closer community. Beloved, I have seen the strangest things, even in the church. I think I've told you this before, but I remember being in one church that they literally split in half over how the new women's bathroom was decorated. Somebody had passed away and they had left money to have another stall added in the women's bathroom and to refurbish it. It caused such division because some people wanted things their way. It literally split the church in half. We as Christians are called to come together in humility. We are called to consider the other person's feelings and the other person's thoughts, to put them above our own. And God does this. It came through St. Paul, but God does this so that there will be unity in His church. And as I have learned in recovery, when we push the self aside and we think of others, it fills us with a sense of gratitude and a sense of awe and worship towards our mighty God. In the horrific slaughter of World War II, an entire generation of European men passed away. Woodrow Wilson, the president in 1919, became a hero because we allied, the United States allied with Great Britain and with Italy and with France, and they put their trust in Woodrow Wilson. That shouldn't be, but they did. They cried out, "Vive le Wilson," meaning he is the king, he is the king. Just as we cried out today that Jesus Christ was the king. You see, this man brought about a truth. I have heard so many different stories of things that happened during war. In World War II, they rose up both sides on Christmas morning and began singing hymns to one another. This president brought about a truce, and then he helped to hammer out a peace treaty. I think that this sense of peace that came about reminds us to remember our true focus on Passion Sunday. Yes, it's Palm Sunday, but I'm going with Passion Sunday because my ultimate goal today is that our Holy Spirit will reignite in you a passion. Those of you who are on Facebook have probably seen that we have a new little ministry with a devotion. It's by Max Licato that we started off with. I think we're going to The Chosen next. But when we sat up there the other night, Mark and I, recording that, he started reading from Max Licato about passion, about how our church has become lukewarm, how we do not have the same passion as the early Christians. And then all of a sudden I see this look break out on his face, and he begins reading that the slut and the sailor are, and he looked at me and said, "Wow." Max Licato was getting passionate about his love for his Lord. That is my ultimate goal today, that our faith today would be in awe and reverence to our King. Because when you think about what Jesus did, He deserves our awe and our reverence. He went into Jerusalem knowing, and so did His disciples. Peter grabbed Him and said, "No, this must not happen to you." Because Christ had taught them what was about to happen to Him. And Peter tried to rebuke it, and Jesus was determined to go. You see, the Jewish leaders, what we call a legalistic sect, knew that Jesus was the Messiah. They knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was who he said he was. He was the very Son of God. They witnessed his miracles. They tried to trip him up. They got after him for healing on the Sabbath. Bad, they said. They knew that Christ Jesus was who he said he was. But they were in connection with the Roman rule at the time. And the Roman rule allowed them to have authority and power. And they didn't want that messed with. So they cried out, "Crucify him." His own people, the Jews, cried out, "Crucify him." The gospel says Jesus entered Jerusalem because he believed his going to his death fulfilled God's plan for all of eternity. It brought about salvation for you and I. Who can say, as that song that Proof just sang, that Jesus is coming back for me? Anybody? Jesus coming back for you? Good. Good. That's what we're looking forward to. This particular passage reminds us that what Christ was trying to do was bring the kingdom of heaven down to earth, because he came not only to reconcile us with the Holy Father, who could not even look upon us in our sinful nature. He came to show us how to live with one another. And this passage from Paul illustrates how we should live with one another, that we should put others above us. I remember going to seminary where they pick the Bible to pieces. My mentor told me, "You better know who you are going in. You're going to have to put Jesus back together again when you get out. They are going to pick the Bible apart." I remember my second semester, I sat in Old Testament, and the professor told me that archaeologically, there was no wall of Jericho. I began to panic. I'm like, I'm in over my head. I didn't really want to do this anyway. What am I going to do? So I called my mentor up, and I asked him, "David, they telling me there's no wall of Jericho." And he simply said, "Angel, I graduated from Harvard. There is indeed a wall of Jericho." I said, "What do I do about the class?" He said, "When it comes to the test, you write down, this is what my professor said. This is what I believe." We have to stand on our faith. Many people nowadays say, "The Bible's not literal. That's not really what they meant. Don't take it so seriously." I take it very seriously. Now, I also read it knowing that some things were in context. We could eat shellfish now. There are some things that were in a particular context for that audience then. When I open the Word of God, I try to remember to pray first and to say, "Holy Spirit, reveal yourself to me." And I first read that Word as it was written to its initial audience. And then I read that Word for what it means to me, for what it means to us today, for how it can help us to get through life circumstances. I say all the time, people will tell me, "Well, God caused my child to die because he was testing my faith. He caused this accident because he wanted to see if I had real faith." That is not my theology. That is not what I believe about God. God does not cause the ill that happens in this world. It is our fallen nature that causes things to come about. Occasionally, our God does test us. More so, Satan sifts us. Today, we will have a baptism and professions of faith where they will be asked, "Do you renounce the evil in this world? Do you accept the power of Christ Jesus, to rise above the evil of this world. You will be asked to reaffirm that yourself. And each and every one of us should be able to say, yes, I renounce the evil of this world. I accept the power of Christ Jesus to rise above it. We will stumble. For the word says that all have sinned and fallen short from the glory of God. But Jesus shed his blood upon the cross so that we could be forgiven. There's something called critical reflection, critical Bible study, where they look at the Bible through a different lens. I did plenty of that in seminary, and I see that it has a good use. But I'll still tell you, when I open this book, it is my belief that it is all Spirit-inspired, meant to encourage us and edify us. It tells us that we are called to come together, to worship together, to pray together, to lift one another up. And it is my personal belief that in the church, we should feel safe enough to be vulnerable. We should be able to tell at least one person in the body our deepest fears. Confess the things that bring us shame, because when we do, it restores our relationship to God. Something impressed Jesus' followers, his disciples, and by the way, we're his disciples now through the reading of the word. Something impressed them so much that they later said that they had a new understanding of God. That was Jesus' willingness to put himself at risk. When Jesus told them that he was planning to go up to Jerusalem, his disciples tried to warn him and tell him not to go. They sensed that Jesus' message of the coming kingdom, Jesus' ability to heal, Jesus' ability to show us who the one true God is, was a threat to Pilate, was a threat to the Roman rule. And they didn't want him to go, but he chose to go. Again, high religious leaders of the Jews, those with a comfortable arrangement with Rome, allowing them to keep their religious power and authority, would certainly be hostile against our Lord Jesus Christ because he was about to overturn their world. This may be the basis of the gospel stories where Jesus tells his friends that he feels compelled to go to Jerusalem. There are stories to come of many years later after Jesus' death, reflecting upon faith, reflecting upon our understanding of what he did for us. They ring true of Peter's protest that Jesus should not have gone. Peter took him aside and he began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This must not happen to you. Matthew 16:22. It was evident that Peter and the disciples were against this very risky decision. And of course, we know through the reading of the word, and I can't really say I blame them, most all of them abandoned Jesus at the foot of the cross or before. They feared that the same things that happened to him, being put on trial, being mocked, being spat upon, being beaten, would happen to them. I'm not 100% sure that I could stand up to that if that came about today. I hope I could. We hear of martyrs all the time where they are told, renounce Jesus or die, and there's a gun up to their head. I believe in that case, I could not renounce Jesus. But when it comes to renounce Jesus or I'm shooting or raping your children and your family, I'm not so sure what I can do with that. But I believe with everything in me that the Holy Spirit gives us power to overcome. The word tells us that when we do not have words, He intercedes with groans too deep for us to understand. Pam, we learned a lot about this, didn't we? Sitting up at the hospital for an almost 12-hour surgery, it was a roller coaster ride up and down. And each and every time she stood upon the faith of God, upon His promise. Paul reaches out to us today to quote a hymn sung in his little churches. There is no better way to understand our God, to understand the relationship between Him and us, than in the reading of the hymns. It says, who through Him was the very form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied Himself, taking on the form of a slave. Being born in human likeness and being found in human form, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death upon the cross, the cruelest way to die. And then Paul drives it home. I love the Apostle Paul. He speaks boldly. He says, therefore God highly exalted Jesus. He gave Him the name above all names. That is above every name, so that the name of Jesus would cause people to kneel before Him, would cause them to bow down, humbling themselves, would cause them to confess with their mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord. That will happen. But how much better is it for you and I who confess Him now, who stand upon that faith, to get us through the suffering and the trials of life, because it's going to keep coming and it's going to get worse. So we better have a strong faith. Like my mentor told me when I entered seminary, you better know who you are in Christ Jesus, because your world is about to come undone. Passion Sundays calls us to reveal the truth of the Gospels, to listen to the truth in the epistles for the first or the umpteenth time. Easter's joy will come soon enough. In the meantime, let us resist the rush towards Easter, its joy and its celebration. And let us personally, each one of us, hustle up to Jerusalem. Hustle up to being vulnerable in front of our God. Hustle up to looking at the things in our lives that keep us from being as close as possible to God.
Turning to You, we turn to You.